feel like we have not been here for a very long time. We left when the COVID hit, and we have not been back since. So it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Naomi? There was a famine in Bethlehem, and it had forced Naomi's husband to move his family across the Jordan to Moab. The sons that they took with them married Moabite women, and then the tragedy struck. Naomi's husband passed away, and her two sons passed away, leaving all of those women on their own. And when Naomi heard that the famine was over, she decided to go back to Bethlehem. She took her daughter-in-law, Ruth, with her. And Ruth was a Moabite. She was a foreigner in the country and in the community of Bethlehem. She was a widow. And she had a widowed mother-in-law. They were very poor, and she went out to do the harvesting in the fields and was allowed to pick up the grain that was left after the harvest. Naomi knew that the field that Ruth had gleaned belonged to Boaz, and Boaz was a relative of her deceased husband. And the Jewish law was that the widows were to be taken care of by the brother of the deceased husband. This was called a kinsman redeemer. It's a legal term for one who has the obligation to redeem a relative in serious difficulty. So the scripture this morning is found in Ruth 3, 1 through 10a. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be provided for." Now Boaz, whose women you have worked with, is a relative of ours. And tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash. Put on some perfume, get dressed in your best clothes, then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is laying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. Naomi is determined to find a place for Ruth where she's going to be taken care of. So she sets out to get Ruth and Boaz together. Ruth is to wash and to put on perfume and to get dressed in her best clothes and then to go down to the threshing floor to meet her Redeemer. Now, most threshing floors were usually on top of a hill where they could make the best use of the wind. They would smooth out the ground and pack it down so that there was a hard surface. They would bring the harvested grain to the threshing floor to be trampled upon in order to separate that which is the grain from the chaff. Entire families would even come and take part in the process. It was often a time to sing and praise the Lord, for this bountiful harvest. If the wind was blowing, they would work far into the night, and the men often slept on the threshing floor to protect the grain from being stolen away from them. The process of threshing started by spreading the grain on the threshing floor. They either let the oxen trample on it to break it down, or they might use a weighted sled to loosen the grain from the inedible chaff that surrounds it. Then winnowing forks were used to throw the mixture into the air so the wind could blow it away, leaving only the good grain on the floor. It was this good grain that would be sifted to get the impurities out, leaving only the best that is used for food. In the scripture that Sharon read for us, John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This scripture has always puzzled me, since Jesus is always about showing God's love and not punishing us. What I have discovered, though, throughout my entire life is that Jesus, in his own loving way, uses the winnowing process to help separate the righteous from the unrighteous. The threshing floor is an important concept for any Christian who is growing spiritually. Both the Old and New Testament refer to the threshing floor as a symbol of judgment. Jesus came with a winnowing fork in his hand. In this world today, I think we are being winnowed by the Lord. There is a separating that is taking place right now. Just think about this year. The protests, the riots, setting cars on buildings on fire, looting, people destroying the livelihood of others, hurricanes and flooding in the south, the wildfires and earthquakes in the west, and the worldwide pandemic. Around and around and around our nation goes. It seems like it's almost like a pinball hitting bumper after bumper as it travels to its goal. We do not even get through one crisis before another one comes, trying very violently to shake this nation and the faith of the people. Back in the 1960s, if you're old enough to remember that, and the early 70s, we saw a very similar time. The Vietnam War protests fueled riots, lootings and fires and destructive disasters came, and people's faith in God was being shaken. It was out of this chaos that God sent a revival, the Jesus movement, and it began with many people being saved and touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. The beaches in California were filled with people who were there to be baptized. New songs were being written and sung, and people were redeemed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And out of the chaos today, God is once again sending revival upon this land. It doesn't look like it very much, but the beaches in California have once again filled with people being baptized. And in many places like Portland, Seattle, Chicago, and even in Cleveland, people have gathered for worship just a few blocks away from the riots. People are responding to God's Holy Spirit power and the love of God as they give their life to Christ, who redeems them out of the hopeless chaos into God's kingdom life. People who have spiritual ears to hear are aligning themselves with God and with his people. On the threshing floor, there is not only a winnowing by the Lord going on, but in Luke 22, 31 through 32, we hear these words, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once again you have turned, strengthen your brothers." So now, Satan enters into this. He uses a sifter to go over what the Lord Jesus has already winnowed, the grain of the believer, to see if there's any way that the Christian believer will fail and fall through the cracks. 1 Corinthians 5, that Pastor Keith preached on a couple of weeks ago, talked about the church having sexual immorality among the believers in the Corinthian church. And the Apostle Paul wrote to them saying, "So when you are assembled and I am with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord." Folks, Satan may be out to devour and to kill and to destroy, but if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, God will use all of these times on the threshing floor for sifting out the impurities within our heart. It is in the times of sifting that we realize that our Redeemer really lives. Jesus is really alive, and Jesus is the one who paid the price to buy us back from the hands of the enemy of our soul. The threshing floor is not only for judgment and separating out our impurities, but the real ending of it is that it will become a place of blessing for you. In 2 Samuel 24, we read the story of David who buys a threshing floor from a Jebusite who lives in Jerusalem. This threshing floor was to be the place where the Ark of the Covenant was to reside. In fact, it is that very place where David's son Solomon built the temple on Mount Moriah. Today, we call that place the Temple Mount. It is in the walled city of Jerusalem. And the threshing floor that Ruth's grandson David bought is where the Golden Dome Mosque is today. It is where Jesus is to come back after he enters through the Eastern Gate. It is where every Jewish believer longs to be and where one day they will rebuild their temple. The threshing floor continues to be a place of blessing today. Ruth went to Boaz on the threshing floor. She went to let him know that she wanted to be his bride. And you and I also are able to go to the threshing floor and choose Jesus as our Savior. He picks us up out of the chaos of the shaking going on the threshing floor, and he redeems us. We become part of the body of Christ, where the Ark of God resides within his redeemed people. The church is called the Bride of Christ, and we know that our threshing floor Redeemer lives. Have you been prepared to be the Bride of Christ? The advice that Naomi gave Ruth still stands for us, the believers of today. First, we must go and wash, cleanse ourselves with the reading of God's word, and second, put on some perfume, draw near to the Lord so that the fragrance of the Lord surrounds you and that every time you go out, everyone recognizes there is something different about you. And then get dressed in your best clothes, be clothed with the righteousness of God, and Christ's righteousness shines forth. It seems as if America has been on the threshing floor today. But yesterday, if you were paying attention, you saw something very sacred. A sacred assembly happened in Washington, D.C. It was a day of repentance and prayer. It was called the Return, for people to turn back to God. And I believe that when history books are written and they look back at the year 2020, there will be a clear indication that this was a turning point for America. This will mark the day that this country turned back to God, and we, the redeemed of the Lord, the bride of Christ, the church, will finally shout that Jesus is our redeeming, threshing floor redeemer, the one who has bought his church back and who brings life to all. Let us shout, our threshing floor redeemer lives. Shout it with me. Our threshing floor redeemer lives. And you know that when you are on that threshing floor, it doesn't feel good. But boy, our hope is in our God, who will give us new life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the times in which we are able to see you working in our lives, that even